This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, the week of November the 17th, 2014, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like to ask you to put your television on mute for episode 170 of TVA, the podcast. I know listeners are shocked. I know they're dumbfounded. I know they're confused. but for this episode, we have evolved as Diane is on the Galapagos Islands. The episode has evolved without her.
Yes.
I would argue we might have devolved, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I know you said evolved, and I thought, wow, that sounds like a positive. I feel as though we've taken a step back.
We'll find out by the end of the episode, folks, if you stick with us. We do have several links to talk to you about this week, some interesting stuff. It's kind of a weird mishmash. I would say that this is the time of year where it doesn't seem like there's a lot of big new stuff that's coming up. We kind of are in the doldrums, where a lot of the new stuff's, almost all the new stuff's already started. We're too early for talking about most stuff for next year. There certainly is some mid-season stuff starting, but for the most part, we're kind of in this weird month or so of not a lot of huge stories with Canadian television anyway.
No, you're right, and it's kind of across the board because November sweeps are wrapping up down in the States as well. So yeah, with the first snowfall here in southern Ontario, we're heading into the dark days. Until we get to the holidays.
The dark days of no television or no news of Canadian television.
That's right. Help us get through it, Anthony. What are you drinking to keep your mind off the
gold? Yes, indeed. It is time for the beverage update. And this week I am on episode 3 of my multi-pack of iced teas. So I am enjoying the sugar-free green iced tea.
Wow.
The sugar-free green iced tea. It's almost poetic. So yes, I'm enjoying that still. That was the great thing about buying that multi-pack of iced tea.
Right.
I knew it would last me for 2 months. So that's what I'm enjoying, and I will have to say that the powder was artisanally crafted in a Kentucky warehouse. I'm not sure what it was crafted from. I don't know where you can get artificial green tea flavor, but they've found it somewhere.
Yeah, don't read the ingredients too closely. It'll just scare you.
Does not contain tea, but contains green.
Yeah. There's quotes around the word tea.
Why is it spelled T-E-E?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand. Greg, what are you beveraging on tonight?
I've got a new thing. I picked up at the liquor store this pre-mixed Caesar, and it's called Uncle Somebody's Uber Caesar. So it's got the vodka in it, it has the spices in it, it has the Clamato in it, and it even comes with a package of Rimmer. So I have got.
That's just dangerous, right off the top of this podcast.
As I said it, I thought, will he pick up on that? Will he leave that alone?
Oh, that's dangerous, my friend.
So I've got that in one glass, and then in the other one, I have some just plain old Toronto tap water.
Okay, I did buy. I found a new bourbon this week. I was quite excited about.
Oh, what kind?
So I am not drinking it tonight, but it's called Stag Junior. And it comes from, I believe, the Buffalo Trace Distillery down in the States. I've got several of their bourbons, but I've never seen this one in Canada before. And I oftentimes go on to the liquor store website and search up bourbons to see if there's anything new.
Right.
And so I saw this Stag Junior one come up, and I thought, oh, I've never seen that before. And I checked and see there was 2 bottles in Hamilton at one of the liquor stores, and I thought, I must go down and purchase this thing. It's 66% alcohol.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
When did you start drinking bourbon?
Not too long ago. It's been within the past decade.
Okay.
Generally, so I'd been drinking Jack Daniels.
Okay. Yes.
At first, that was the first drink, and then with bourbon, a friend of mine, because I'm a teacher on March break one year, a friend of mine said, "Hey, it's March break." Another friend who's a teacher, we should go and do something on March break, and I said, "Okay, sounds good. When do you want to go?" And it's like, "How about tomorrow?" Okay. And so it's like, I got an idea. Let's go down to Kentucky. Yeah. Yeah. And so we did all these bourbon. And so that's when I started drinking bourbon. We went on the bourbon tour of Kentucky. And we eventually did go down to it was a really good trip. Like over a span of about 6 days, we went through a bunch of Kentucky distilleries. We went down to the Tennessee and went to the Jack Daniels distillery. We spent the night in Nashville, the night in Memphis. So it was pretty cool.
Wow, I think, you know, the next time you go, you should make it like a television show, a reality show.
Well,
CBC maybe.
Well, so the similar thing that happened was coming back this year from a conference down in Dallas, myself and my friend Shane Burley documented the road back, which included several stops in Kentucky distilleries on the Talking Is Dead podcast. But yes, that was I enjoy road trips. I enjoy road trip podcasts. That's my new thing. Traveling around with my phone and an external microphone and recording on the road.
Is that all it is? You have an external microphone into your phone, and that's what you're using to record?
Yeah. So
wow.
So
that sounds good.
Yeah, it's not bad. So there's a couple places where, like, when we go into a restaurant, I don't like carrying a microphone in with me.
Right.
It's a little bit ostentatious. But if the phones are getting so good these days, you always hear about how with the cameras on the phones are getting way way better.
Right.
What people don't often talk about is the microphone technology, which is not anywhere near good enough to be broadcast quality.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it on the table in between two people who are talking, you do get some ambient noise of the place, but you can pick up pretty clear conversations.
Right.
And so, you know, we'd go into like an IHOP or something like that. I'd put the phone on record, drop it in between us, and record while we were having our IHOP breakfasts. And so there you go. Not only a beverage update, it's a podcasting update for all of you who are listening and prospective podcasters.
Well, it's a question I've wanted to ask you for a while because it seems as though you mention bourbon every week, and I thought I'd like to know how that all got started. So you started out with Jack Daniels.
Yes, start off with Jack Daniels.
As I think we all do.
And start off with Jack Daniels mixed drinks as well.
Okay.
When I first started going down to Vegas about 15 years ago, I would drink Apple Jacks.
Right.
So, right. But then, you know, eventually you start getting used to Jack Daniels, and then it's just like, yeah, just bring me the Jack Daniels.
you build up a...
Well, eventually it's like Jack Daniels on ice. Then eventually, right. Yeah, forget the ice. Just bring me the bottle. So yeah, that's eventually how it happened. But we do have some interesting links. Like I said, there's a really bizarre mix of links this week.
Yeah, there is.
I wouldn't say anything is... like a huge thing. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about Corner Gas, and that's a big thing, but that's almost more of a movie thing than a television thing at this point. It's tied together, but so right. I mean, we're talking about both. But the interesting story that just kind of developed over the weekend and today was all this retweeting of this idea that CBC is going to cancel Doc Zone and that Nature of Things is going to essentially kind of be phased out and produced off-site and stuff like that. This is a case where kind of Twitter went in a really bizarre direction, Greg.
Yeah, because CBC made its latest cuts, I think it was of about 400 people on Friday afternoon. Then over the weekend, I noticed a tweet that had said, CBC canceling Doc Zone in April, Nature of Things to be produced off-site, most of Doc Unit gone, brutal news for amazing staff. And I kind of thought, well, that's interesting. And so I did some searches, and I couldn't find any news stories about it. And didn't think too much about it. I mean, this came from a producer. You know, should I go ahead and name her? I guess so, because yeah. She posted on Twitter, Lori Allen, who's a producer of CBC Radio's As It Happens. So, you know, she would know what's going on. And then I read another tweet about it on Saturday, basically saying the same thing. So I emailed CBC early this morning and just said, hey, can you guys kind of clarify what's going on? Because I've heard some interesting things on Twitter, and this is something that they announced back in June that they were going to be phasing out their in-house documentary production unit as you know, when it comes to, you know, along the lines of this cost cutting, and that they're going to be getting the documentaries from filmmakers throughout the country rather than doing it in-house. and that Doc Zone is going to be evolving with a focus on point of view documentaries, and that was going to come in the new year. So that kind of falls in line with Laurie's tweet about it being phased out and that there was news coming in April. So this stuff about the nature of things, now this is something that I've kind of noticed this year anyway, as I've been watching documentaries, is that they've been produced by individual production companies, and then right. they're being broadcast on there with David Suzuki narrating, of course, as he usually does. So, but very, very interesting that, you know, and there was a rumor that they were going to take a hit when the announcement was made that eventually the cuts were going to come around to the documentary section. So that is indeed what's happening. So they're not going away, per se, but certainly changing, which is sad, I think.
It is. It is that they're not, that some of that content they're not going to be creating anymore, because there's always been a tradition on Doc Zone that if there's a good doc out there that they can get, they'll show it.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Yeah, so I mean, that's always been there, but it sounds like they're going almost completely in that direction. It's funny, during the discussion I had, which we put up on the podcast last week with Peter Kelligan, he was talking about the latest one that he just did. And he's
about the workspace.
There was the workspace one that he just did, and he's got one coming up on robots as well. So, and that's coming up in February. So I mean, it sounds like they've shot a couple for this season anyway, but it sounds like as we're going into next season, it's going to be less and less homegrown stuff. I can't say homegrown, because it could very well be Canadian stuff,
right.
but less and less in-house stuff for CBC.
Yes.
And that's always been the case with Nature of Things as well, that they've always found outside content when it fit the messaging that they wanted it to fit. I don't know that all of it was necessarily in-house. I get the so they've reached out as well. It's just it sounds like we're, the CBC is going to become the framers of the discussion as opposed to the content creators of the discussion.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, they've got the content, they're going to bring it in, but it's coming from other people. And there's a couple interesting ones coming up that I've had a chance to screen, and both of those, neither of them have been done in-house either. So, yep.
It's a shame, because the shame is because the level of quality for a lot of the Doc Zone stuff was always incredible. It was excellent. And so you can hope that you're going to get that level of quality from outside people. But I guess there's no guarantee that you're going to get that. And to be fair, if there are enough, I have to assume that there's a lot of really good Canadian documentary content out there that Doc Zone, if they can find it, that will never get the coverage that it would get. You know, right now there's so many documentaries on places like Netflix, and you can go like 20, 40, 60 down into like any given topic. I don't know how many documentaries there are on like privatization of water on Netflix alone. Like it's just,
it's a whole genre.
It is. I mean, there's basically, it's broken up between World War II,
food
and nutrition, water. And I think the sub-World War II genre of the Holocaust, because let's face it, there's like 800 documentaries out there. Like the amount of documentaries that focus on, or sorry, there's about another 1,000 on the financial crisis from 2008.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. The other interesting thing that I just thought of is that CBC has this whole documentary channel. And I don't know how that's going to impact. Now, I've never actually tuned into that channel and seen anything new. It tends to be a rehash of something that's already aired on the main channel or on Doc Zone. So, but still, I mean, there's an interesting conundrum that they're going to have. You know, I wonder if they'll eventually just phase out that channel.
So what's
Could they even do something like that?
Yeah, what's the channel? Is the channel called Docs or is it
Docs? Documentary Channel, I think, is what it's called. Because every time I go to the Bloor's Cinema, they have an ad for it that's playing over and over again.
Because there used to be a documentary channel that wasn't a CBC thing, I think. It might have been from the States. But it could have been. But they also, isn't Bold a CBC network as well?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Because they used to repurpose some of their CBC radio shows that they shot accompanying video on. They used to show that over on Bold as well. So, yeah, they've got the channels out there. I can't see them giving them up. But I also know that it's almost like it's like book TV, and that you can imagine there's very little content creation happening for those channels. And there are probably small teams of people who, you know, put together ins and outs for shows and just kind of repurpose content.
Right. Yeah.
Which
poor, Poor book television. Why do whenever people talk about sad TV, book television always gets mentioned in there?
Sad TV. Welcome to sad TV. One of my favorite ever Simpsons episodes is when Homer formed the grunge band. And the name of the band was so epic was Sadgasm. I love that.
Somewhere Daniel Richler's sitting in a corner wondering what happened to book TV.
Daniel Richler's, no offense, he seems like a really nice guy. But if you would ever have a face that you would put the word Sadgasm under, I believe it might be Daniel Richler. I remember thinking he was so cool when I used to watch like Much Music and New Music back when I was growing up. And like, he was the guy who seemed like authentically indie.
Yeah. He had a little bit of an accent, a little bit of maybe an English accent or something like that. He looked a little down his nose at you. Oh yeah.
He was the guy, the pretentious guy from the record store that made it.
That's right.
Basically what it was. So there you go. So Doc Zone and Nature of Things going under some radical transformations. Maybe, depending on how they package it, might not be incredibly noticeable for the occasional viewer. But I'm betting for the regular viewer, they're going to notice the differences.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So Corner Gas, we've been hearing about this for now for... When did they announce the movie? A couple of years ago at this point, a year and a half or something like that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so the Corner Gas movie is ready to go. And you got a chance to step down and have a chat with some people at the Canadian International Television Festival, the Canadian International Television Festival.
yes.
Which you can find at CITF14.TV, my favorite indie station from 1973.
Yeah, CTV was, they're going to, well, let's, before we get into who I got a chance to talk to, let's just kind of, just break this down a little bit, because CTV and CTV2 are going to do a super simulcast on December the 17th of Corner Gas, the movie.
What does that mean?
Well, a super simulcast means that it's going to air on both channels, Anthony.
How is that super?
You can't get away from it. That's
what
it means.
Who gets CTV2 and doesn't get CTV?
Nobody. But it just means if you happen upon one or the other, then you're going to get it. So that's what's happening.
How can this be a thing?
This is the new thing. You hadn't heard about this. This is what they're calling this is the new supersized episode. It's a super simulcast, which means that it's going to be on more than one network at the same time. It was coined last year.
If you were to argue with me that you're going to show it on two stations that not ever... Like, if you were saying that this is going to be on CTV and CBC at the same time, like, I know that wouldn't make sense for this show, but then I would say, well, okay, because CTV reaches most places in the country, but CBC reaches everywhere, and at least it means everyone will get to be able to see it. Nobody in this country gets CTV2 without getting CTV. Nobody.
This is what you're picking on? You're picking on that?
This is what I'm picking on.
All right, all right.
That they're selling a super simulcast. Because that's a big thing in their headline. It's the headline on the CTV page is Corner Gas, the movie, makes super simulcast network premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what... Maybe it's you can watch it in quadraphonic sound. Maybe that's it. If you listen to the stereo on CTV and the other stereo feed on CTV2, it's Corner Gas in quadraphonic sound.
Right. And then if you've got CTV Go, which is the app, then you can watch it there as well. So you can have it going on three ways. Yes.
A third screen experience.
Exactly.
Oh, I get it now. I'm surprised they didn't pitch it like that.
Right. So what they're doing is that the super simulcast is going to happen after the movie is done in theaters because it's going to run from December 3rd to December the 7th in the Cineplex theaters. And then it's going over to the super simulcast. And then it's also going to air on the Movie Network at some point. It's also going to air on the Comedy Network at some point. So basically, you're not going to be able to get away from Corner Gas, the movie, even if you want to get away from it.
Yeah, I will be. I'll be able to get away from it.
Oh, come on now.
I never watched the show.
Oh, really? You never watched it?
Never. I don't get me wrong. I've seen a couple episodes here and there. It's not like I said... I have a hate on for it or anything.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. It just wasn't in your. It wasn't in your regular.
Yeah, I just I never saw it. Well, here's the thing. I'm a bit of a completist, and so when I miss the beginning of something, it's hard to get me into it after that. Like, it's hard to get me into season two of something if I haven't seen season one.
Right, right.
And at the time, there wasn't a lot of options for that. You could do a BitTorrent kind of thing, but then that never really, you know, the show never really drew me to it to say, hey, I should go find a BitTorrent of season one in order to do it, so.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll get all the seasons and I'll send them to you and you can just sit and watch them. You can binge watch Corner Gas.
I can't see that happening. Now, now, if you could say this, here is how I would do this. I would take this challenge on.
Okay.
I don't know how many episodes were there of Corner Gas. 80-something?
Six seasons? Five seasons of the show?
I don't know how many episodes they had per season. I forget whether they were in the full-out season mode or... Let's say they had, what, 120?
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
If you could put 120 screens in front of me, all showing an episode at the same time, a super-duper ultra-deluxe simulcast of every episode at the same time, I would devote the 24 minutes to watching all 120 episodes.
Wow.
It would be kind of like that torture scene in Clockwork Orange. They'd prop my eyes
prop
open.
Prop your eyelids open.
Yes.
Well, I did. I had the opportunity to go down to CTV's headquarters today, and I interviewed six of the cast members as well as one of the executive producers. And this movie actually has been in the works for. It took a year and a half for them to get the script just right, and then they kind of came up with the idea of doing the whole feature film and network television tie-in. So this is kind of a first here in Canada for that type of thing. And I don't want to give too much away because I'm actually contractually obligated not to give too much away about the film. But if you're a fan of the show, you are going to like it. It's very much a love letter to the fans. There are a lot of in jokes and kind of tongue in cheek things in there, and a couple of nice surprises as well. And I think people are going to enjoy it.
So
well, you won't, but other people will enjoy
it. Yeah, and like I say, I don't dislike the show.
No, I understand.
I just, you know, there are some shows I will tell you that I don't like. This isn't one of them. I mean, I watched a couple episodes. I was like, yeah, okay. But to me, this is one of those shows where even after watching a couple of episodes, it seems to me like things are funnier or less funny, like most sitcoms, because it's character driven.
Right.
And when you don't know the characters, you don't know the intricacies of the characters, some of the jokes fall a bit flat. So.
No, well said. No, I totally agree.
So there you go. But yeah, you can in the show notes, you can check out the link and follow all of them on Twitter.
And there's a lot of them. They're all on Twitter.
They're all on the Twitters. And you can watch these super simulcast. I'm just excited all about it. speaking of excited and speaking of strange, so this just came out today. A press release from the CBC Media Center. CBC asks Canadians to shape program content with new pilot project, Let's Get Hitched. Now, Greg, we just found this before the show.
Yeah.
This didn't make its way onto our radar earlier today. Like, literally before the show, we saw this. The tagline here is, Canadians can log into cbc.ca /CanadaCreatesHere from November 17th to the 28th. For the opportunity to provide feedback in the creation of a new series pilot.
Wedding-themed pilot, yes.
Yes. Now, when I see this, I think, okay, that's interesting. It's not a bad idea. Diane and I have talked several times on the podcast before about how, you know, online is a great way to break in new pilot ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We've more talked about from the idea of like what Amazon was doing with, you know, get a couple of web series or people who do like web productions to shoot like little 10-minute minisodes or something like that. And then you could choose a pilot from there.
Right.
This is a bit different. This looks like they are going to do a show called Let's Get Hitched. And they've on the website, the cbc.ca/CanadaCreatesHere, they've put up some video clips. And they want you to go and watch the video clips and provide feedback on those video clips to help them create this wedding-themed show, which is about people who choose to get married at City Hall.
Yes.
Now,
I'm waiting for your rant.
No, there's no rant.
Oh, okay.
There's no rant. On its face, I don't know that the premise is enough for me. Well, first of all, at a wedding-based show, I'm probably not watching it. But to parse it down even narrower than that, like people who decide to get married at City Hall, again, but here's the thing, and this was the interesting thing to me. In a first-of-its-kind endeavor for the network and produced with the participation of the Bell Funds TV Development Digital Pilot Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So CBC is using Bell money in order to look, it looks like, do the digital side of this pilot creation.
Yes. Yes.
Is this, I don't know what to think of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, you know, and we have another story coming up with the CBC reaching out to somebody else, and they're already, you know, in bed with Rogers for this whole NHL thing. So, you know, this just looks as though it's another, you know, this is almost turning into the CBC podcast, but it's they're exploring ways of sticking around and being viable. So I guess they're figuring, well, let's partner up with as many people as we can, and let's get as, you know, funds from all these different areas so that we can, you know, kind of keep on going. I feel as though the next thing they're going to be doing is coming to my door with a jar asking for the loose change that I've got in my pockets.
Well, I'm going to continue on with this. It says viewers' responses will be analyzed and used to help determine how the pilot will be crafted, which will then be submitted for pickup on the network.
Yeah, and they make it sound like it might not even go to air, but the way it's being worded is I'm getting the idea that it is going to go to air.
Well, Diane's always told me, and I believe her. I believe her totally, because why would she lie to me? Waiting for crickets there, by the way. That if something gets shot in Canada, it gets shown. Like, the series might not get picked up, but at the very least, this thing's going to get shown somewhere.
Oh, not necessarily true, but true for the most part. I mean, yeah. The pilot for 19-2 was ordered by CBC, and it never made the light of day. It was shot. But yeah, that's a rare occurrence that it doesn't get aired. Yeah.
So they say this online project signifies a new version of dial testing.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Isn't that, now to me, when they do, what is it called? Focus groups.
The focus group? Oh, okay. So you got the dial in front of you.
Yeah, I think that's what this is supposed to be.
Good. Okay.
So signifies a new version of dial testing designed to gauge brand integration and Canadians' response to the show. Mm. I almost threw up a bit in my mouth when I said brand integration, by the way. The outcome will help shape the series as fashioned by viewers, reflecting the type of content Canadians respond to and desire to see on their public broadcaster. Here's the problem. It's maybe this will be a little bit of a rant.
That it's a wedding show?
No, that's not it at all.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Although that may contribute to it. We have for several years on this podcast now talked about how the danger of Canadian television and the lack of creativity in Canadian television doesn't come from having two or three people work on something. It's having too many cooks in the kitchen. In other words, having 800 people chipping in on something doesn't make it a strong, forceful vision. It waters it down. And if you're going to invite the general public in to help guide the direction of a show, to me, this, when we use the term lowest common denominator, I hesitate to say this, but this is, to me, it's reality television about people getting married at City Hall. This is lowest common denominator. This isn't fans even saying, you know, here are two decisions for a scripted show. Let's go in this direction or this direction. You know, this is a choose your own mystery. By the way, the creator of the choose your own mysteries just passed away this week. Just like, yeah, that was pretty, I forget the guy's name, but you can go search that if you want to. Not you, but anybody else. But so getting back to this, to let people jump in on what a pilot's going to look like just seems to me like we're watering down a concept that is already watered down because they wanted to make a concept that was easy for the general public to weigh in on.
Yes, I agree with you. This is probably not the best project to be asking for help with, a wedding genre, a reality show about getting married. I agree. But the interesting thing is, if you're going to ask for help, and the CBC always does, and I don't think that this was the right venue to do it in. You know, there's lots of armchair quarterbacks that, you know, all you have to do is read the comments at the bottom of any CBC story written by a newspaper, and you have people say, you know, shut it down and all that. I'm all for them asking for help. I don't think that this is the show to do it with. It seems very odd that they're going to use a wedding show, which doesn't even belong on the CBC. I mean, that's a specialty channel type of program, for crying out loud. So that's where I have the problem with it. Not so much that they're asking for help, because, you know, the fact that they're actually asking for help is, you know, acknowledging the fact that our money goes into CBC. It just seems very strange that this is what they're doing it with.
Yeah, it's interesting because down at the bottom, at the very bottom of this press release, so underneath the actual press release, they have all the about statements. You know, here's what Pivotal Media is, and here's what Head Trip Films is. And then it says about CBC Radio Canada. And the second paragraph there is interesting. A space for us all, which
underlined.
Is italicized and underlined, so it's like a campaign. Mm. A space for us all is CBC Radio Canada's new strategy to modernize the public broadcaster and ensure that it continues to fulfill its mandate for Canadians and future generations. Through to 2020, it will increase its investment in primetime television programming and continue to create radio programs of the highest quality while promoting the development of digital and mobile platforms and content. I don't know that reaching to the general public gets you good content. In fact, I would say the opposite pretty quickly. Don't get me wrong. I would love CBC to create content that was fantastic and reached all Canadians. But you're not going to do it, plain and simple. You can certainly have popular shows, but this is one of those cases where I just don't understand. I don't know how this is going to go anywhere. They might shoot 6 episodes of it and show it as kind of like a mid-season replacement thing. And are they doing it because it's cheap? Is that what a space for us all means? Lowest common denominator and what we can produce cheaply?
Yeah, and actually there's no guarantee that it's going to make it to air. It could be one of their online shows, you know, like what Bell Media is doing with some of their online projects. They may just very well put it there too.
Yeah, I'm not getting this at all. I'll be very curious to see what other shows fall under this Canada Creates Here mantra, because they've obviously created a hashtag, Canada Creates Here, which, by the way, very long for a hashtag, CBC, I'm just saying. And also the hashtag Hitched, which I have to imagine is being used by somebody else somewhere. Just saying. There you go. Some interesting developments from CBC and Bell and getting married at City Hall, apparently. I'm skeptical. That's all I'm saying. Another interesting thing happened last week, and this is for all you weather geeks out there, and there are more of you than would care to admit it. Let's face it. How many of us watch the Weather Network, find ourselves watching the Weather Network for at least a half an hour at a time?
Oh, yeah.
A new partnership on December 8th between CBC News and the Weather Network. A new content sharing agreement bringing together Canada's leading sources of weather news and information. So beginning December 8th, national weather forecasts on select CBC News television properties will be provided by the Weather Network's team of meteorologists and on-air personalities, while the Weather Network will gain access to CBC News weather-related stories, analysis, and video content for use across its platforms. Here's a sharing agreement that kind of makes sense to me. I believe the Weather Network is under the CTV banner, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if it's independent.
They're Palmerex Media.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're an independent. But, you know, looking at this on the face of it, well, what does that mean? That means that they're going to get rid of the CBC is going to get rid of their local weather people on their local networks, right?
Yeah.
And they'll just go to the feed for the Weather Network.
Yep, that's for sure. And I don't know whether this is, whether they could be talking about this. It would make sense that they're talking about this, especially for local casts.
Mm-hmm.
You might still have a on the national each night, you might still have the national weather person or something like that. But for a lot of the local stuff, yeah, it'd be interesting. Now, we haven't heard anything yet in terms of layoffs like this stuff. By the way, at the end of this press release, they also mentioned a space for us all.
It's the, hash, Is the hashtag really long too?
There is no hashtag for this.
CBC Weather Network.
Yeah. Although you can follow CBC's publicity team at CBC underscore publicity. Is it possible that CBC publicity was taken and that's why they had to use the underscore? However, they do tag this as a space for us all. So this is...
Not italicized.
That's true. You've got to read into this. It's not italicized. But it is part, and they use this, the same paragraph as we read in the previous press release, to modernize the public broadcast. So this entire Space for Us All campaign basically seems like we want to spend less money. We want to be able to engage in partnerships. This is like the television version of a P3, a private-public partnership. We already saw how the CBC is getting completely screwed over with Hockey Night in Canada, and they're basically having to give up space for Rogers to come in and run their own broadcast out of the CBC building. We've now seen how we've got these crazy partnerships with Bell and another partnership with the Weather Network. CBC, it seems like it's trading on its reputation and name for the purpose of saving a few bucks. And I'm not saying that that might be what it needs to do under this fiscal situation to survive, because they're currently getting hammered. Maybe they're just hoping to ride out the storm.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting out of it. I mean, you know, they've made it known that they have to make changes to survive, and these are the, you know, this is the latest one. I mean, you know, the Olympic announcement that they were keeping the broadcast, but we're going to be sharing with Rogers and Bell. I mean, I guess they recognize that they need to play in the sandbox with these other people to actually keep going. I feel kind of badly for them, you know. It's just they're trying to feel it out and see where they need to go. I'm not envious of them at all. It kind of reminds me a little bit of NBC down in the States and how they just they're trying to find success any way they could and couldn't seem to make it happen. And now it's taken a while, but they're coming back, and hopefully CBC can do the same thing.
So it gets a bit more specific here, actually. It says the Weather Network will provide weather updates on the CBC News Network throughout the day. And at the end of the national on CBC and CBC News Network, including expanded weather reports on CBC Toronto on weekends. The Weather Network, based out of Oakville, will also supply weather reports to CBC News Express broadcasts in 8 Canadian airports. So if you've ever been to a Canadian airport and it has that pre-packaged news report that you see playing on the TV over and over and over again if you're there for like more than half an hour, now it's going to be Weather Network people who are giving that. So I can understand where the Weather Network would be excited about this.
Sure.
Because now they're getting access to weather-related stories that the CBC is covering.
Yep, and they're you know, lower number down on the dial as well, right?
Yep, and they're certainly getting access. And to be fair, whether you watch it or not, the Weather Network has for a station for such a niche station, it does a pretty good job of promoting its personalities. Its personalities are out on Twitter. They often make an appearance here or there. You know, people tend to turn to the Weather Network, and they tend to know the people who are on there. And a lot of the people on there actually end up on usually major networks eventually.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was just going to say that. Yeah. They graduate to CBC.
Yeah, CBC, and I've seen a couple go over to Global. You know, they get out there pretty quick. It seems like a pretty good training ground.
Yeah.
But they've had a couple of people who've been there for years now, and they're fairly well-known people. I mean, they're well-known Canadian television personalities, because there was at least a couple years there where I'm positive my dad watched the Weather Network about 3 hours a day. Just saying, every time I walked in the house, I'd look on the TV, there was the Weather Network. Anyway, all of that coming with an interesting commentary that came from the Star, thestar.com, just today. Was it just today? This was actually a couple days ago on Saturday. Talking about how the CBC Radio Canada is in danger of disappearing forever. Now, this was the day after the cuts were announced. And Elaine Saulnier, former director of information programming at Radio-Canada, writes that the tensions that have existed between CBC and Radio-Canada management and the government are eventually going to lead to the fact that CBC Radio-Canada is going to fall off the map.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you had brought this up as a link a couple of weeks ago, talking about the board of directors was full of conservatives. And at the time, we were just kind of saying, oh, you know, I don't think it's really going to mean that much. But But Alain Saunier says that no, that, you know, the fact that they're in there, that it has made a big difference, and that he was fired as a director general of information in February of 2012, and wasn't sure why, and it's, you know, with ties to the government, and the board denounced an anti-Harper bias in the campaign coverage, and, you know, so this is really interesting, you know, that. What do you think about this, reading this? It sounds as though the CBC and, you know, Hubert Lacroix is in his back pocket. Is that what you're getting
at?
Yeah,
first of all, I don't know Alain Saunier at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's sour grapes.
It could smack of sour grapes a bit. Yeah. I don't know him personally. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea. I mean, he's currently a journalism professor at Université de Montréal, and he could just be making a general statement, which I don't think is far off from what a lot of us are thinking. But he makes it a little bit more explicitly than just the inferences, which we've seen. Like, in other words, here's what it comes down to. Right now, we have a conservative government that's chopping every public service out there. Not just the CBC. They're chopping every public service out there because they believe that it should be privatized and we shouldn't have public services. That's the mentality. That's what they got elected. They got elected with that mentality. I don't like it. People who are fans of the CBC don't like it. But most Canadians voted for them, even though most Canadians don't vote. That's another story altogether. So it shouldn't be shocking that a conservative government is making cuts to a public broadcaster. It's harder to make that connection to say that they're doing it because they have some kind of hate on specifically for the CBC. I think they just don't like public services, period. Mm. And they want to privatize as many of the things as they can. And I'm sure there is a lot of pressure from Rogers, from Bell, from Shaw, from all of these different companies who are saying, as long as we have to compete with a government-funded station, especially have to do all of these Canadian requirements, it's like they would like to get rid of all the Canadian requirements as well.
Right.
So, I mean, all of that stuff, I don't find it shocking that the CBC is getting cut after so many years of a conservative government. I am not anywhere near willing enough to make that commitment to say that it's because the party in power hates the CBC specifically. They may not like it. And I get the feeling that they're, like with most conservative governments, they're quite happy to do it in dribs and drabs as opposed to doing it outright. Because if they said 4 years ago, we're getting rid of the CBC, there would have been this huge national outcry. Instead, what you're doing is for the past 5 or 6 or 7 years, we're just going to reduce its budget by 10% right. every year. Mm-hmm. And eventually whittle it down to the point where, most of the workers are gone. Most of the content is gone. Everybody's going to complain that the content's gotten worse. So why do we have the CBC anymore? And the reason the content is getting worse is because they've been taking their budget away.
Right.
So it's an interesting take. Down near the end of the article, which is admittedly an opinion piece, it's not a hard news story here. It talks about the fact that all developed Western democracies recognize the need for independent public service broadcaster. Most fund it properly. We are now the third lowest level of public funding among all OECD countries. And for a country of this immense geography and complex diversity with two official languages and many more Aboriginal ones. The CBC does broadcast in eight Aboriginal languages, which is... You have to figure that's a challenge that a lot of other public broadcasters around the world don't even face. And he talks about the fact that we need to support the CBC and we need to do all of this stuff. And so what will be very interesting to see is this. We got a federal election coming up within the next 6 months, probably, or so, 6 to 9 months. If a new government comes into power, do they restore funding to the CBC?
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. That may be part of their platform.
Yeah.
But do they actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, it would be interesting to see. I always say that the government is run by staffers. It's not run by politicians. So there are going to be plenty of staffers, either at the CRTC or, you know, the Canadian Heritage Ministry, who are going to say, you know what, we really don't need this. And it'll be up to that party to either fight back with them or not.
Do you think that the CBC could ever go away? Can you picture a country that doesn't have its own public broadcasting channel of some sort?
It will never go away completely. But I do feel, and this is the scariest part of it, they are becoming a public-private partnership right now. In other words, private companies, from all these stories we just talked about, private companies are making money from the CBC. Even though we talked about the CBC getting a little benefit here, a little benefit there, there are private companies that are trading on the CBC's generally good reputation for 100 years, or however the hell long it's been around. I'm not a historian. Who are trading on that and trading on taxpayer money to take advantage of such things. So, in other words, we talked about this partnership with Bell. Well, you can't tell me that you saw Bell's logo slapped across the bottom of that press release. You know, so even though Bell's, you know, giving up a few bucks to CBC to do this digital project, Bell's name is now going to be on the CBC. We got this partnership with the Weather Network, which is a private company. Now the Weather Network is going to be slapped across the CBC. We see Rogers broadcasting out of the CBC building in Toronto.
Right.
All of these, the CBC is a well-known brand. And for the most part, there are certainly detractors, but for the most part, it is a respected brand. Certainly with a lot of, the CBC certainly has a lot of dignity to it. It has generally, you know, certain radio hosts recently notwithstanding, it generally has a lot of integrity to it. And it's no doubt that anyone who can latch onto that wants to latch onto that. That's why it's never going to go away, but it'll be interesting to see 5 or 10 years from now if you have a continuum of the public broadcaster towards a essentially privately run broadcaster, which is still called a public broadcaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In other words, our tax money might still be going there, but is it essentially going to be just going into the pockets of some of these big companies?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. I feel tapped out. My brain's empty now. But we do have one more story, however. Although it's not even a think piece. It's nothing incredibly, incredibly thought-provoking, but it comes to us from The Province this week, theprovince.com, and the headline goes, Why Canadian Television is Super Comfortable with Swearing. This is from Canada.com. The article is from Canada.com, and it appears in The Province. So there's a show, stand-up comedian in the States, Inside or Amy Schumer, and she does a show called Inside Amy Schumer, and the producers have won the right in the States to say a certain P word on American TV. Catching up with Canada.
Yes, we're breaking ground. We allow that word and yes. Others.
So, because this is a podcast and because I'm not regulated by the CRTC, the P word is pussy. I mean, we don't have to dance around it. This is a podcast. So, up until now, in Canada, when the show gets aired, they show it in all of its glory. Or they have the word in all of its glory.
Say it in all of its glory, yeah.
Be a different kind of show otherwise. Would remind me of that blue the blue TV on City TV if they showed it late at night. Anyway. In the States, it hasn't been allowed. Now, Comedy Central has finally relented to the producers of the show and are allowing the word to be broadcast uncensored on TV. And the same episode in Canada, not a problem.
On Comedy Network. Now, they would not air that on CTV, of course. Channels like the Movie Network or HBO Canada can get away with whatever foul language, bare flesh, and sexy scenes they like after 9 p.m. by virtue of being premium channels. So there you go. You pay a little extra and you get your swearing, Anthony, and your nudity.
There you go. Swearing and nudity. That's why I watch television. Spokesperson Natalie Cole said on the Comedy Network, censorship is determined on a case-by-case basis, and that depends on the entire context of the program in question. That's why an episode of South Park may have some words bleeped, but others not. And they talked about how in 2010 there were complaints regarding a couple of South Park episodes on the Comedy Network. And the CBSC, which is the... why am I blanking on this? Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. See, that always scares me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council is one of those self-regulating bodies. And any self-regulating body scares me. I don't like self-regulating bodies. I think they should just be able to show whatever they want to. It was like when the comics code back in the 40s or 50s decided that they weren't going to talk about violence and sex in comic books anymore, and they all became very milquetoast kind of stories.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
They decided, because there was, you know, during, I think it was post-war, it might have been, everyone was talking about the fact that, oh, these are going to corrupt our children, all this violence, all this sex and all this stuff. And they said, oh, okay, we'll start up our own comics code and we'll self-regulate ourselves. And I think that's what happens here. Anyway, the channel had censored words like fuck, shit, and prick, but aired other words like dick and asshole, as well as the phrase suck my balls.
I wish I'd asked to read that paragraph.
If you want to read it, no. I am fully for it.
No, do we need to put an extreme language warning on this podcast now?
Fuck no.
All right. Wow. I feel like
Diane's going to be shocked, by the way, because I don't think I ever dropped an F-bomb once with her. However, this was in quotes. I'm reading it.
Yes,
it's from the article.
Yes.
It's in quotes. So I believe that
You're being very journalistic about it.
I don't think this is shocking. Back as far as what, the 1960s and 70s, I remember as a child, you'd look on British television and you'd see women running across the screen with breasts being bared, you know, on a Benny Hill episode.
Yeah, Benny Hill.
Right? And mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, Canada, we were like, oh my God, that's disgusting. And Canada has never been, for the most part, as prudish as the States on stuff like that. But still, it was far more prudish than what was going on in the UK.
Yeah, we've always had, here in Canada, we've always, you know, with a general liberal thought on a lot of things, you know, language and content has always been kind of in line with that as well. We don't take things as seriously as they do down in the States.
It's funny, Amy Schumer talks about their lobbying efforts at a panel at the New York Comedy Festival, calling it a great moment in U.S. history.
Oh, man.
I somehow don't think so.
It's okay. It was no Paul Revere riding through.
No, indeed not Paul Revere. I believe as Paul Revere was riding down with his lantern, he was yelling out a whole bunch of obscenities. And
yeah, that's right. Did he say suck my balls? Was that
I believe that's what he, as he was running down, he was saying, the British are coming, suck my balls.
Oh,
and the British were saying, we're fine with you saying that. Anyway, that's it for all of the links this week, folks. You've been listening to the TVA podcast, episode number 170. You can find all of the podcasts at tv-eh.com. That's the easiest way to do it. You go there, and there's a link right up near the top which says podcasts. If you click on that, you can find all of the podcasts. And if you want to listen back to some of the old ones, you can certainly do that. Feel free. Go ahead. Listen to them. If you want to, you can also go to our Patreon page, which there's a link right on the podcast page, which will take you there. If you feel like you would like to say, hey, you know what? I enjoy listening to that podcast so much, I'm willing to pay a buck for it. You don't have to pay any money for it. We're going to still give it to you for free anyway. But if you go to Patreon, it's kind of a value for value model. If we entertain you for a buck a week's value, please feel free to contribute. It'll help defer the costs of server space and all of that junk. As we put content out for you, as we put out more Canadian content than many Canadian television networks. I believe that's our mantra.
Yes.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Hashtag more Canadian content than most Canadian networks. It's a long hashtag, but we feel it's well worth it. Hashtag suck my balls.
We're in so much trouble.
Yeah, I think so.
This is our last podcast.
No, are you kidding?
TVA.
Are you kidding? I've done many podcasts with a lot worse stuff than this.
Oh, I've heard them.
Yes. So I wouldn't worry too much. That's why this isn't radio, Greg.
Okay.
It ain't radio. Greg, where can people find you when you're not hanging out here in the TVA universe?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Greg_David. Yes, thank you very much. I'm glad you know what my Twitter handle is, because I can never remember that. And I also swap off with Diane over on the TVA Twitter, which is at TV_EH. And we were talking about the CITF earlier tonight, and I will be moderating a panel for Camp X on Saturday, November the 22nd at 7 p.m., So come on down to the Bell Lightbox, because I'll be chatting with the folks who created Camp X, and we'll be bringing that to CBC at mid-season. What about you, Anthony? Where can we find you?
You can find all of my podcasts at anthonymarco.com. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And one thing we haven't mentioned is our subreddit. Mm. If you would like to contribute links to our next news-based version of this show, which will be in 2 weeks, if you go to tveh.reddit.com, that's our subreddit. And you can, if you're a user of Reddit, just dump links in there. If there's links in there already, you can vote them up, vote them down. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We still don't have tons of people in the subreddit. We do want to thank Jim Henshaw for dropping another link in this week. We didn't get around to it. Admittedly, it was a little bit old already, but that's okay. Drop them in there. Vote them up, vote them down. I would say this, that if Jim's link had 1,000 votes, we would be talking about that link right now. Because we are letting you crowdsource our podcast as part of our new digital engagement matrix.
A voice for all.
A voice for all. We want you to tell us what you want on this podcast. Because
face for us all.
It's the changing face. It's the TVA 2020. We're looking forward to the future. Excelsior. That wraps up another episode of TVA for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.